Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." Let me ask you, are you being persecuted in your Christian life? If not, why not? Because all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, will suffer persecution. Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I am the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and I'm the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, we want to talk about persecution today. And as that verse says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Sometimes we get the wrong idea of what that means. We know about the persecuted church, people who live in communist countries where they have to meet in secret and they can be arrested in the night and put in prison and tortured for their faith and all those things. That is definitely persecution. That's serious persecution. But the word persecution, when it says all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, that word literally means to pursue. It means that people will come after you. They'll press upon you. They'll try and put you to flight. They'll try and shut you up from talking about Jesus. They'll try and keep you from doing the two things we talk about on this program all the time, shine and share. Shine for Christ. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven, Matthew 5:16, and share. That comes from Mark chapter 5, when Jesus told the Gadarene demoniac that he cast out those legion of demons into the pigs, and they ran off the side of the hill and drowned themselves in the Sea of Galilee. The old joke is they committed suicide. He told that man, who was clothed and in his right mind and had given his life to Jesus, no doubt, he said, "Lord, please let me go with you." He said, "No, go home to your people and share with them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." And that man went and declared everywhere in the Decapolis, the 10 Gentile cities on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, what great things that Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Shine and share. Persecution comes from the world to the Christian who is shining and sharing. They want to put the light out and they want to shut the Christian up. Now, persecution can come in different forms. It can come in verbal disparagement. That's a mild form, to physical violence. That's a major form. We can lose friends, mild form, although it hurts, to losing our freedom. You get incarcerated, to losing your life. So from mild to major, persecution comes. Now the question, why is it that those who live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted? Why did Paul tell Timothy that? He had already told him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." You've heard me share on this program many times because it's just embedded in who I am. We are called to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the old song says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. I'm convinced that many Christians forget that we're in a battle. The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. And we are in a battle for the souls of men. We have a very real enemy who is the devil as a person, and then you have the world as a force that is coming against the Christian. The Bible says, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. We have pressure from the world. We're tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And those are our three enemies. The flesh is the internal foe. It's on the inside. If the devil were to evaporate tomorrow, you and I would still struggle with lust and greed and selfishness and bitterness and those things, because those are inside jobs. Those are the remnants of the flesh. And that's an internal enemy. We have the world, an external enemy. So an internal foe, an external foe, and an infernal foe, the emissary from hell, the devil himself, who comes after believers. And the devil uses people. People are not the enemy, but he uses people to try and shut up the church and try and shut up the Christian and try and get the Christian to quit shining and quit sharing. Just do your Christianity alone in a closet somewhere, but don't bring it out into the public. And you don't say anything about Jesus. Now, the apostles faced this in the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 4, they got arrested. Peter and John got arrested for a miracle that was done to a crippled man, and they were preaching Jesus. They used the miracle to preach Jesus. Well, when they were called before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court, and they were asked, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" What an open invitation. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene," now watch this, "Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." I mean, you talk about shining and sharing. You talk about being bold. Those guys were bold. And the Bible goes on to say, "Now as these leaders observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply." What are we going to say here? What shall we do with these men, they asked. "For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Now, get this. These are the religious leaders of Israel. And they want, and they see this miracle, and the miracle is attributed to Jesus, and they recognize that these guys, Peter and John, were with Jesus. They were part of his entourage, his 12, and they say, "Well, gosh, we want to deny this miracle, but we can't because all the people saw it, and it's a noteworthy miracle." And I've always been floored by the fact that why would you want to deny a miracle? Why would you not want to give glory to God and say, "Praise God, look what he did"? But they didn't want that because the disciples were very clear. You crucified God's Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. We were waiting and waiting and waiting for hundreds of years for the Messiah to come. You know, he was promised the proto-evangelion, Genesis chapter 3:15, that the seed of the woman was going to come and crush the serpent's head. That's the first reference to the Messiah who would come. Well, now he's come. Hundreds and hundreds of years later, he has come, and what did you guys do? You said you're looking for the Messiah, and when he comes, you crucified him. And his followers, you're going after them. See, this is a cosmic battle between the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, Revelation chapter 12, and God. Now, God could crush the devil at any time. Don't ever get the idea that there's an equal power struggle here, that they're, you know, God and the devil are just neck and neck, you know. It's not like that at all. God created Lucifer, who was the most beautiful, most wise, most glorious angel. But Lucifer wanted to be God. He wanted to usurp God. "I will make myself like the Most High God," he said in Isaiah chapter 14. And God said, "Oh, no, you won't." And God kicked him out. Now, Lucifer was very wise and cunning and impactful. He got a third of the angels to join him in his rebellion against God, but God threw them all out. And Lucifer, the star of the morning, the son of the dawn, became Satan, the father of the night. And those angels that fell with him became filthy, hairy demons. And there is a cosmic battle going on. And the prize are the souls. The prize is the souls of men. And men and women, boys and girls. So what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. He's trying to deceive people. He's trying to keep people away from the truth. And Jesus came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, Jesus made it clear, as we think about this subject of persecution, he made it clear to the disciples in John chapter 15. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, if they came after me, if they pursued me to try and shut me up, to try and make me flee, if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. We have people in Christianity today, high-level people and pastors of large churches that just want to encourage people. That's their, they just say publicly, oh, I'm just here to encourage you. I just, you know, I'm not going to step on anybody's toes. I'm not going to say anything that would cause you discomfort. I just want to make you feel good. I say at our church, I say, listen, a church can be a hospital to help sick people get well, or it can be a hospice center. What's the difference between a hospital and a hospice? Hospice is where you go when you're dying. All they do at hospice, and they do a great job with this, but they just give you care and make you comfortable until you die. A hospital oftentimes is going to hurt you in order to help you. Hey, you have this problem. We can fix this problem, but we're going to have to cut on you. We're going to have to perform surgery, and maybe it's major surgery, and you are going to be hurting for weeks and weeks and weeks after the surgery. It's going to take time to heal, but you will heal. You will get better. The church is never supposed to be a hospice center. It's always supposed to be a hospital for people who are sick with sin. And we perform surgery by the power of the Holy Spirit to help people come to Christ and find new life in Jesus Christ and deal with the patterns of life that have been ingrained in them. And listen, the devil hates that. The world hates that. The devil doesn't want people to come out of the darkness into the light. The devil doesn't want people to hear the truth. So a Christian who is living godly in Christ Jesus, shining and sharing, that Christian is going to experience a level of persecution from mild to major, depending on where you live in the world. In America, we have had basically mild persecution. You can lose friends for being a Christian. You can be disparagingly talked about at work or in the neighborhood for being a dynamic Christian. But in other parts of the world, you get arrested. You go to prison. You lose your life. You get tortured for Christ. Richard Wurmbrand and his wife tortured for Christ. If you've never read those books, I encourage you to read them. Tortured for Christ is a great book, but it talks about the persecution that they endured. And they threatened the disciples in John chapter 4 or Acts chapter 4. And they said, whether it is right to obey you or to obey God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. We are the Lord's witnesses, and we are to suffer hardship as good soldiers of Christ Jesus. Hey, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will be persecuted, but that's okay, because Jesus said, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman, Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
A charitable gift annuity is a gift to American Family Association. Not only are you giving to the Lord's work, but you'll receive a lifetime income and excellent tax benefits.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
This is Jan Markell, and next on Understanding the Times Radio, we consider eternity, that is, the 1,000-year millennium of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on earth, and the new heavens and the new earth. Are these your destinations? Learn about your eternal destiny as believers. That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central, and Sunday afternoon at noon Central, on American Family Radio. Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
The credit card debt happened when my daughter was born. I was using one credit card account to roll over into another credit card account, and it was snowballing.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called Trinity, the representative understood the need based on the situation. They're great people to work with. From the first phone call that I made, they had me on a track to mitigate the credit card debt.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
Working with Trinity gave me the ability to save thousands of dollars. My name's Doug, and thanks to Trinity, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about persecution, the persecuted Christian and the persecuted church. Jesus said in John 15, verse 20, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Well, it is a privilege to welcome to the program Cedra Sarton. Cedra is with Engage Magazine, a division of American Family Association, and she is heading up the Orange Letter campaign. It's a campaign from October 24th to November 4th. It is a campaign for Christians to write letters to those who are being persecuted severely for their faith in different countries, places like Egypt and Syria and North Korea and Nigeria, to encourage them to keep on going. So, Cedra, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for having me on.
So tell me about the Orange Letter campaign. How did that get its start, and what is that all about?
Well, it all began with a video that went out that circulated of 21 Coptic Christians on a beach in Egypt, and they were being beheaded for their faith. And I think a lot of people remember the image of them in their orange jumpsuits. And that year, we were able to partner with the ministry to send letters to the families left behind by those men. And it just kind of went from there. Each year, we went to a different country. We went to Syria, North Korea, and Nigeria, and then we're going all over the world each year.
And what kind of response are you getting? You're sending these to the families of those who have been killed, or just those who are experiencing persecution?
Both. Just people all over the world. We have missionaries with our friends at Global Outreach International. They have almost 300 missionaries on the ground. And we send these letters to those missionaries, and they're able to share them with the people that they work with.
And what kind of response do we get?
We've gotten several thousand letters over the years from AFR listeners because I believe all of us, we see the need, we see things on TV, we hear it on the radio, and we want to know, what can we do to help? How can we reach our brothers and sisters in Christ? And this is an easy and free way that you can reach them, let them know that you love them, and let them know that you're praying for them.
And is that a back and forth, or is that just a one-time thing, or do those people then respond back?
Well, we have gotten responses to from some of these missionaries and from these Christians to engage. But no, it's not a back and forth thing. Each year, we just give the listeners an opportunity to send a letter.
And what should they include in that letter? What are you looking for with that?
I mean, really, you can write whatever you want. If you don't know what to write, I suggest some of your favorite scriptures that maybe get you through hard times. And just, it doesn't have to be a long letter, just some words of encouragement, and just let them know that you love them. And it's really simple. Go to engagemagazine.net, and it'll walk you through the process of writing your letter.
Amen. Well, how long have you been involved in this, Cedra?
Since the beginning of the campaign, I have been with this since 2015, since it began.
And how rewarding has that been for you personally?
It has been wonderful. I know that I've read magazines like the Voice of the Martyrs, things like that. I've read those for years, and you see these stories, and you want to know how you can reach out. And now I feel like I have a real opportunity to do that.
And we want to keep praying for these folks, so we write them, and then we continue to pray for them. And it can be I don't think we understand in America how difficult it is in other parts of the world to shine for Christ and to stand up and be a witness. What are you hearing on the other end when we send these out? What kind of responses are we getting back from these folks?
I know that I've spoken to a few of the people who have received letters, and it means the world to them. A lot of them have made the decision to be away from their families, these missionaries, and to know that the people back home are praying for them and praying for the people that they're working with, because they worry about all of these believers who are in danger sometimes. And so it means a lot, because I don't think there's any other bond between so-called strangers as there is when you meet someone and you find out that they're also a believer in Christ, just like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's an instant connection when you meet another believer and know that, you know, we talk about fellowship. They say, what is fellowship? It's two fellows in one ship. It's two people sharing the same life. And so when you meet a believer in Jesus, you know that, hey, we're connected to the same Lord, and we have the same life. And there is a bond there instantly as brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, so Cedra, tell us again, how do we get involved? What do we go to?
Yeah, go to Engage Magazine. magazine.net, and it'll walk you through the process of writing your letter. It's really simple. And then when you do write your letter, it will ask for your address. And that is so that we can send you a sticker pack. And what we ask is that you take these stickers, you put them places where you'll see them often, stick it on your water bottle or wherever you want to. And then when you see that, it's a reminder for you to pray for the people that you've been writing to.
Amen. Well, will you pray for us right now and pray for those persecuted Christians and just
absolutely.
Ask the Lord to use this Orange Letter campaign in a great way in their lives?
Yes, I sure will. Thank you so much for that opportunity. I would love to.
Good.
All right. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity that we have here, Lord, to reach out to the believers and fellow believers and sisters and brothers that we have around the world. And Lord, I just pray that you will inspire us with words from you to give to them that would comfort them and keep them going in their trying times, Lord. And I just pray that everyone listening would just take a moment to go to the website and write a letter, just so they know that they have taken the opportunity to love their sister and brother in Christ. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Cedra. We'll hopefully have a lot of response to that, and many people will respond to writing that letter. It's a short letter. It's only 200 words or less, so you don't have to write War and Peace, but it's a way to encourage our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world who are facing not mild persecution, but major persecution. So thank you, Cedra, for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for letting me come on.
Good. Well, we're talking about persecution and persecution in the Christian life. Hey, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You know, I think we can often give people the wrong idea about what it means to be a Christian. You know, we don't tell them the whole story. We don't tell them, hey, you're signing up, you're surrendering your life to Jesus, and you're signing up to be in a battle for the souls of men, and our leader is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has put us in this battle, and it's onward, Christian soldiers. We, you know, you begin in the Christian life, you don't know anything, and so Peter says, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow with respect to salvation, like a newborn babe. And all of us are newborn babes when we come to Christ. I was 17 years old when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and I was born again, but I didn't know anything. I mean, I knew basic, you know, facts about Jesus, and you know, I knew he died on the cross and rose again from the dead, but I was a novice when it came to the Word of God, and I wasn't able to handle it accurately. I had to learn. Everybody, it gets to that place where, okay, it's brand new for me, I have to learn, but then I grow as a soldier. You know, we don't just throw people out into the war. They go to boot camp, and you're going to be a soldier. We're going to train you to be a soldier. And many churches are not doing, sadly, not doing a very good job in training their people to be soldiers of the cross and to suffer hardship as good soldiers of the cross. And in America, you know, it's been easy. It's been comfortable. The persecution has been mild compared to what's going on in the rest of the world. And so you may lose friends if you become a Christian and you're very outspoken. But you normally don't lose your freedom. You normally don't lose your life, as it happens in Muslim countries and things like that. And so now we're starting to see things shift as America ceases to honor God. As it says in Romans chapter 1, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give him thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. That describes our country today. In the university system, they profess to be so wise as they teach gender studies and all this ridiculousness. Watch the Matt Walsh What is a Woman documentary, and you'll see as he interviews people that have degrees, people that are supposed to be intelligent, and just how ludicrous they are. They profess to be wise, but they are utter fools. The word for fool in Romans chapter 1 is moros, M-O-R-O-S. So it's where we get our word moron. Professing to be wise, they become morons. And God gives people like that over to a reprobate mind, a mind that doesn't function anymore, a mind that seriously thinks that a biological male can become a biological female. I mean, that is just ridiculous that a biological female could become a male. You can't do that. God made us male and female. Two sexes, two genders, gender and sex are inseparably linked. Hey, you start standing up for that truth. You start standing up for marriage between a man and a woman. You stand up for biblical morality. And people are not going to cheer you. The world is not going to cheer you. The world is going to come after you. At First Baptist Texarkana, about a year or so ago, we showed the movie In His Image, a movie that was done by American Family Association. Just an excellent movie that talks about We are made in God's image. God didn't make any mistakes when he made us male and female. And there are only two genders and there are only two biological sexes. And you are either XY chromosomal makeup male, and your pronouns are he and him as they have been since the beginning of creation, or you're female XX chromosomes and your pronouns are she and her as it's been since the time of Eve. Since day six of creation when God created Adam and Eve. And that's what it is. And we showed that movie and it speaks the truth in love. And it's very compassionate toward people who are struggling with gender dysphoria, but it tells the truth. And we had people pick at us and we had people blast us online. Oh, this is a church of haters. Look what they just hate people. Well, no, we don't. We love people. The folks that are lying to you are the ones that really and truly hate you, because they're lying to you as you go down the wrong road, and that wrong road eventually leads off a cliff. We love you and we say, hey, you're on the wrong road in life. You're on a road that's going to lead you off a cliff, that's going to lead to death, physical death, and eternal death in hell. We don't want you on that road. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you will come to him, he will change you from the inside out. He will forgive you. He will wrap his arms of love around you. He'll make you a brand new person. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. But now, isn't it interesting? When we want to tell people that wonderful news, the gospel is good news. The word gospel, euangelion, means good news, good story. But to understand the good news, you have to understand the bad news. Good news doesn't make sense until you understand the bad news. And what's the bad news? And you are dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We're born in sin. We're born on the highway to hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Hey, he doesn't want you to perish, but you come into this world and you are on the road that leads to hell, the road that's called Perishing Avenue. And the Lord said, I don't want you to do that. So I sent my son to die for you and to give you the opportunity to come to him and be forgiven. Jesus said, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. What do? We shine the light. When you shine for Christ, you shine the light. You shine the light on the darkness, and everyone who does evil hates the light, does not want to come to the light, because then his life will be exposed. But it says this from the lips of Jesus, but he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Well, we're coming up on a break, and after the break, we're going to be taking your calls. The number to call is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. As we talk about this issue of persecution and being a good soldier for Christ Jesus, and setting your mind to the place where it says, okay, I am going to face persecution. I am going to have trouble as a Christian in this life. The Lord told me I would. In the world, John 16, you have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. So it's okay when persecution comes, when difficulties come, when hardship comes. Just know, hey, the Lord told me this would happen. And he told me he would be with me. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. We need to pray as the disciples prayed in Acts chapter 4. God, give your servants boldness. Boldness to speak as we ought to speak, so that we would stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross and faithful soldiers and a faithful witness, a good and faithful witness. Don't we all long to hear at the end of our lives from the lips of the Lord Jesus, "Well done, my good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. Call in and let's talk.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
AFA is here every day fighting for the future of America. And praise be to God, we're making a difference. One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity helps you, and it allows AFA to impact America for generations to come. Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We are talking about persecution, and we just had Cedra Sarton on from Engage Magazine and talking about the Orange Letter Campaign. Let me encourage you to go to engagemagazine.net, where you can find out information about how you can send a letter to a persecuted Christian in a different part of the world, and just a short letter, 200 words or less, and to make a difference, to let them know that you're praying for them and that God is in control, and just to encourage them in the Lord. And so also wanted to let you know, just remind you that we're promoting National Collection Week for Operation Christmas Child. That is going on now through November 21st. The Shoebox Ministry that was started by Franklin Graham's organization in 1993, and it's going to celebrate this year its 200 millionth shoebox. And so First Baptist Texarkana has been a part of that for many, many years. And as I shared with you, we have one Sunday school class in our church, a class of some wonderful ladies, mature ladies, and man, they've just latched onto this. And this year, I think their shoebox number is 13,000. They have a dear lady in their class that bought a building just for the purpose of putting together shoe boxes. They put them together all year round. And then they have a big garage sale to pay for the shipping associated with 13 boxes. You know, Franklin Graham's organization asked that you give $9 a shoe box to help them with shipping costs. Well, when you have 13,000 shoe boxes, that starts to add up. So they have a wonderful garage sale during the year to raise money for the shipping costs of those shoe boxes. So just want to encourage you with that. Also wanted to let you know From His Heart Ministries is having a special Thanksgiving gathering on Tuesday, November 1st at First Baptist Church in Bossier City, Louisiana. First Bossier, my friend Dr. Brad Jerkovich is the pastor there, and he has so graciously allowed us to use his church. We're going to have a wonderful time getting together just to give thanks to the Lord. First Baptist Texarkana has been on TV in the Shreveport-Bossier area for over 55 years, and we have lots of people that watch us on television, lots of people that support From His Heart Ministries, which is the national and global outreach of the pulpit ministry of First Baptist Texarkana. And We just want to meet our wonderful friends and supporters and prayer warriors, meet them face-to-face and have a time of worship and praise. Our worship pastor, Quinn Stanfield, and our worship team will be with us for that night, Tuesday, November 1st at 6 o'clock. And then my good friend Doyle Dykes, guitar legend Doyle Dykes, he's going to be with us. And if you've never heard Doyle play the guitar, I mean, he's one guy that sounds like it's 10 guitars. He is amazing, and he loves the Lord. He's going to be on the program next week as we are together. And I just love Doyle. He's got a great heart for the Lord. So it's going to be a wonderful time. So mark it down if you live anywhere near the Shreveport-Bossier area. Be with us Tuesday night, November 1st at 6 o'clock at First Bossier. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, as we talk about this issue of persecution. And we have Andre on the line from Ohio. Andre, yeah. Welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Pastor Shreve. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So I just wanted to provide a resource. You talked about persecution and sharing the gospel and all that comes with it. But I'm sure you've heard of Ray Comfort, but Ray Comfort, he's got a YouTube channel through Living Water Ministries, and he basically takes Jesus's method and just a real practical way to share the gospel with somebody. And, you know, if you go out there and you share the gospel with enough people, people are going to, you know, hate on you and persecute you, but, you know, it's worth it, especially in this world. They do gospel tracts and everything, which has been very fruitful for my personal ministry. I wanted to just provide that as a resource because it's just been transformative for me, being a kind of a warrior out in the front lines.
Amen. We had Ray on the program, Andre, a couple of months ago, and what a wonderful guy. You know, he does such a great work, and I know that Kirk Cameron teamed with him for a long time, and just engaging people where they live, you know, at the beach, and talking to them about Jesus. He doesn't do it in a in-your-face kind of way, but he's very very forceful, but loving and kind at the same time. I just appreciate his ministry greatly. So I appreciate you calling in. Yeah. So tell us about your ministry.
It's just my personal walk with Christ. You know, the Lord has been leading me through a process of sanctification, and now that's out, you know, with people, and it just gives me a heart for, you know, sharing the gospel and compassion for those who are lost. You know, you go to the grocery store and you look around, and there's a good chance that many of the people that you see are, you know, on the fast track to hell, unfortunately, and that just breaks my heart. And so, through Living Waters Ministries and others like yours, have really given me encouragement to get out there and you know, put action to that compassion. You know, nobody comes to my house, whether they're repairing my water softener or plumbing, that, you know, They don't get out of there without getting the gospel.
Amen. Well, that's the way we're supposed to do it. And hats off to you, Andre, for just being wherever you go. You just be a witness for the Lord Jesus and let people know that God loves them and Jesus died for them and they can have a personal relationship with Christ. You know, one of the things that we encourage our church to do is just like when you're out at a restaurant, always ask the server before the meal, I'm going to pray before my meal, is there anything that I can pray for you about? And that's a great open door, if that person is open at all, to share the gospel. And have you had some good responses, Andre, when you are intentional like that?
Yes, I absolutely have. I found that most people, although it's not really, common knowledge, everyone thinks that the spiritual things are kind of hush-hush, but when you are loving and kind and approach it the right way, and you're prayerful about your ministry, most people are open to speaking about spiritual things, a lot more open than we initially thought. So, I think it's been just a wonderful, wonderful thing that the Lord has been doing through me and through my family. Because now we're all kind of onto this, but it's been a great harvest. The Lord said that the harvest is white, so ready to be reaped. So,
yeah. And how long have you known the Lord, Andre?
Oh well, unfortunately, I was in the I would call myself the false convert category for a great many years, but I'd say probably 10 years I've known the Lord.
False convert in a Christian church or in a...
Yeah. Like, I thought I was saved, but still living for myself, still comfortable in my sin all through my teenage years. But for the last, 9 or 10 years, that's really when the gospel became real to me. I realized that I can't do it on my own, and I need Christ.
Amen. Well, that's a great testimony. I think a lot of people are in that category, and so sometimes people think, well, my conversion story is not very exciting, but it's like, hey, there are a lot of people that are in church but are not saved, and your story really can resonate with them when you say, hey, there's a big difference between going to church and being born again.
Yes, sir.
So God bless you, my brother. Thanks for calling in.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
All right, the number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Something that Andre said triggered in my head. When I was in seminary, my seminary president, he always had an address at the beginning of the year, and he said, talking about what can you do? The question came to him, Mr. President, how do we keep our hearts on fire for the Lord, because the danger at seminary is you get immersed in scripture, but it becomes clinical. It just gets in your head and it doesn't get in your heart. You know, I guess it would be almost like medical school. You're studying the human body and you just learn all these facts, but you can just become a walking, a walking dictionary or concordance, so to speak, in the Christian world. But it's like, how is this changing your life? And so they asked him that question, how can we keep from getting just clinical where we know things, but it's not life changing for us and it's not hitting our hearts? And he said, always have a quiet time. Not a study time, but a quiet time where you're just saying, Lord, I need to hear from you. Speak to my heart. You know, seminary, you're reading lots. I mean, I had to read through the whole Old Testament in my Old Testament survey class. Well, that's a lot of reading all by itself, not, aside from all the extra books outside of the Bible that you have to read for seminary. And so the reading can become just so heavy. And he said, always have that time, that devotional time. And he said, maintain your prayer life and talk to the Lord, just unhurried time talking to the Lord and hearing from the Lord. And then he said, thirdly, continue to witness. He said, sometimes we think, well, I'm a pastor, and so I'm sharing Christ from the pulpit. That counts as my witnessing. He says, continue to be a personal witness like Andre is. So he says, people come to his house to fix his plumbing or whatever they may do. He's going to talk to them about Jesus. And my president went on to say, Paige Patterson, he said, listen, if you'll pray these three things every day, he said, you'll be amazed how God will use you. And so here are the prayers. God, give me an opportunity today to talk to somebody about you. Talk to somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross and the empty tomb. And he said, God, help me to be aware of it when you send someone across my path to talk to them about you. And number three, Lord, when that happens, help me, empower me, embolden me, so I don't chicken out. We all have had the testimony where we chicken out, where we have an opportunity to speak a word for the Lord Jesus, and we get nervous and we get afraid. We listen to the lies of the devils that tells us they don't want to hear that. You're not equipped to talk to this person. It's not going to work. It's not the right time. And we chicken out. So we pray, God, give me an opportunity. Help me to know when that opportunity is there. And Lord, help me not to chicken out when the opportunity comes. I would encourage you to start praying those three prayers every day and watch and see what the Lord does as you pray that, because it makes you sensitive to the fact that there are people all around you, people you rub shoulders with, people at the grocery store, people at the bank, people at Home Depot or Lowe's or wherever you may go, people at your office, people at school that are wanting to hear about Jesus. Just like Andre said, hey, what has he found? There are a lot of people that want to talk about spiritual things. There are a lot of people that are interested in spiritual things. So I challenge you to do that, and I know that the Lord will bless you and use you for it. Well, we have Kevin from Bay City, Texas on the line. Kevin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Brother Jeff.
Good morning.
I grew up an hour north of you, and my aunt, Lida Reinheimer, I think she attended your church.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
She left Texas.
She sure did.
She lived right
Sweetheart.
There on Moore's Lane.
Yes.
Yes, sir. She just passed earlier this year with Alzheimer's, I think in June. But anyway, I just wanted to thank you, Brother Jeff, for all that you've done. And especially, you know, I just started listening to you this week, as far as this time frame, and I've been off of AFR for a while because of my work schedule. And I appreciate AFR changing the time frame that you're on in the morning. I really appreciate that. And I just wanted to say, you know, my dad always told me, said, son, the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 8, and his name was James, a couple of years older than Aunt Lida. But anyway, he said, draw near to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Mm-hmm. But he said, your first steps always, always have to be from you. He's just waiting for you to take the first steps towards him, and he'll meet you. He's waiting. He's waiting for all of us to have a relationship with him, because that's what he designed and purposed us for, and to share that love that he's given each one of us, you know, to others, and let them know what his story is in our life. It's not really about our story. It's about his story, not history, but his story. And it's a history in our life.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, I lost my train of thought. Anyway.
Well, that's a good word, Kevin.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, my brother, and thank you for listening. All right, go ahead.
I know what it was. I just heard last week a lady said, she said, whenever you give your testimony, you're actually prophesying to other people's life, because of what Jesus has done in your life, he can do for them.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word to end on. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Let me just share this scripture as we close out. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. Hey, go out and shine and share, and God will use you. I look forward to being with you tomorrow as we talk to my good friend, Dr. Sudhir Jayaprabhu, about his wonderful testimony. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.